This time on the Fantasy Flex, now presented by Dynasty Football Factory. DFF's own Aaron Mernon joins to break down Rob Gronkowski and some other options at the tight end position. But first, fantasy football veteran Bob Lung from BigGuyFantasySports.com is here to discuss his 2016 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. Stay tuned.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at Miller_RotoDad. We're going to start things off a little differently on this episode. Brad will be along momentarily, but first, we're going to get into my interview from earlier in the week with Bob Lung from BigGuyFantasySports.com. Okay, and I'm here with a real, true veteran of the fantasy football industry. This guy's been at it since I was in diapers in the mid-80s, really. Mr. Bob Lung, how's it going, man?
Thanks. It's going great. Thank you for having me on.
I want to go ahead and give you a moniker here. Maybe nobody has, Bob. How about Mr. Consistency of Fantasy Football?
I'll take that. it's something I would be very proud. A lot of people have called me. You know, there have been certainly people have called me that. Because I've kind of taken, and there's people out there that write about consistency. Tristan Cockeroff from ESPN. I know Fantasy Alarm does some consistency stuff. Every site has a little bit of it, but I kind of pride myself on my whole site. Everything I do is focused around the consistency of the players, how it's important. I measure it so that people can use it and use it in their league. So, yeah. I feel like I've taken it to a next level, and so I appreciate that moniker.
All right. And this is your third year of writing the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, and I've been going over your 2016 version of this. I got to say, I'm kind of new to this concept. I've been around playing fantasy football for quite a while, and this is very intriguing to me. I'm digging in here. You've got 175 players profiled in this book. I mean, it's long. There's a lot of information here for the fantasy football fanatic out there, especially playing in a lot of leagues. This is real gold.
Kind of
give us a breakdown of what is consistently clutch and what is consistency in general in your mind in fantasy football.
Well, I think in everybody's mind, the ultimate goal for every fantasy player from a fantasy owner's perspective is to not only score a sufficient amount of points for their position each week, but also to do it at that level every week. Because there's nothing that will kill a fantasy team more than a player that goes out and scores 30 points one week and then comes back and scores 5 and then scores 30 again and 5. And, you know, at the end of the year, yeah, they're going to average 20 points a week, which is great. But their record for their team, if that happens, is probably going to be close to 500, because that guy's only really helping your team to win one week, because this is head-to-head. So if that guy scores 30 points and your team wins by 20, but then they lose by 10 the next week because they only scored 5, your team's still 1-1, even if you're the highest scoring player in the league. And so, you know, I found that out by playing a long time ago. And when my teams were one of the top 3 or 4 scoring teams in the league, but I wasn't making the playoffs, I knew there was something out there that I needed to figure out. And being a number cruncher by day, I said, there's got to be something. And that's when I kind of figured out the consistency concept, and then really started writing about it and building on it and making it into, you know, what I have today, which is the book, the consistency tool on the website, which allows you to input your own scoring method in your league to figure out who the consistent players are in your league. So that's what I've tried to do, is make this all about that, to help fantasy owners out there who are struggling year after year in making the playoffs, or, you know, just, you know, winning in general, of taking and adding this to part of their pre-draft and season arsenal for helping them do a better job in not only drafting their team, but maintaining their team or managing their team during the year.
All right. Well, what do you say we take a look at some of the players you've profiled in this? I'm going to give you a couple of, maybe some surprises out there.
Sure.
Some people will look at these rankings and say, wow, how does that happen? And at the quarterback position, I'm going to say, this consistency profile from last year broke down Andy Dalton as number four, mm-hmm. and then Aaron Rodgers way down in the middle of the pack, I believe at number 16.
Yeah. So, let's start with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton actually has been one of the more consistent quarterbacks when healthy, and that's the key. But last year, 77%, he was 10 out of 13 until he went down with an injury. If he played the whole season and would have earned, went 3 for 3 in his last three games, he would have had 13 quality games, which have been right up there, if not the top quarterback, but one of the top three quarterbacks in consistency. His QB, his ADP right now is somewhere around, QB 15, 16, 17. Maybe he's not the guy you want to draft as your quarterback one, but I damn well I'm going to be drafting him as my backup in most leagues because I might end up keeping him the starter. And I did that last year with Carson Palmer. He was one of my top picks last year for undervalued quarterbacks. Had him as a backup in every league. And I won three championships, with him coming in as the starter, even though I had Peyton Manning in one of my leagues because Peyton wasn't doing the job and Carson was 92% or 88% consistent last year. So, it's those guys that, even if you draft them as backups, they may end up helping your team to a championship.
Yeah, and Carson Palmer, that's a guy I've always been big on. I don't think anybody's going to sleep on him anymore, but, he's been up there in age at this point.
Right.
And I see him as he's the number one consistent quarterback.
Last year's ranking, he was 88%, like I said, I rode him to some championships. But, even the guys like him, like Dalton, to get hurt, those are the kind of guys that will fall undervalued going into this year and that you can draft in the later rounds, again, as your backup. You might even pick him as a starter if you want to wait that long, but – quarterbacks are going pretty late this year in most drafts I've already done. I think you can still get a good quarterback, a top quarterback, and then maybe grab Dalton in round, 12, 13, depending on the size of your league.
Yeah, that wide receiver madness this year, as I like to call it, driving mm-hmm. Quarterbacks down the board.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, yeah, Aaron Rodgers bringing up the bottom of your
right.
third tier. I want to talk about just to put this into context, you got a Joe Flacco and a Matthew Stafford. Right there with him, right. Kind of ahead of him. I was big on Aaron Rodgers last year. Right. Who wasn't? He's Aaron
right.
Rodgers. But
yeah.
I even took him in the first round of some leagues. He's performing.
Yeah.
I have a big reason in the back of my mind, and most people would probably share that Jordy Nelson might have been, lack of a Jordy Nelson might have been the reason.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, so. Jordy Nelson going down was certainly a big crush, but what a lot of people don't realize or didn't, they knew it happened, but you remember Randall Cobb got hurt, either late preseason or week one. I can't remember. I think it was late preseason and he came back and he never missed a game. But if you'd have watched him early on, because it was a shoulder injury, he had trouble reaching up for a ball. And, when you're already down your number one guy and now you got teams pretty much double teaming Randall Cobb, he's not 100% playing. It's going to be hard for any quarterback, even Aaron Rodgers, to be consistent. And, but 2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was number one in consistency. And, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be top three again, if not number one this year. He's going around round five in most leagues. I'm perfectly fine grabbing him in round five after I've loaded up on four, very solid, very consistent running backs and or wide receivers at that point.
Yeah, and I know my co-host here on the Flex, Brad Wallace, he's got Aaron Rodgers right at the top of his quarterback rankings right now, selling him hard. There's one more quarterback I want to take a look at, and I've dropped down here in your book a little bit to your three-year, consistency average. And
right.
a guy who I think somehow – I'm always big on him, but somehow he seems to get undersold every year. But
Drew Brees, he's your most consistent quarterback. Is he going to stay there?
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, Drew Brees is, you know, he's certainly right up there, and I assume he'll be becoming a Hall of Famer within the next, you know, 10 years after or 5 years after he retires. Not a lot of love for him. You know, the fantasy football world really loves to play on hype. And hype usually does not mean aging veterans. But you know what? There's no question in my mind that if I can get Drew Brees in round 7, which I saw him go in a few of the drafts I've been in, he's going to be on my team. You know, if I'm at that point and, you know, Rodgers and them have been swiped away and, you know, now I've got, you know, another good receiver or running back to add to the 4 I had, I'll take Drew Brees in round 7. I mean, he's always right up there, 70-75% consistent, and that's really all you want out of your quarterback. If you can get that guy in the 7th round to be that consistent, that's golden in my mind, and I don't care how old he is. He's still very talented. He still has some good weapons around him, good running game in Mark Ingram. I don't see any reason why he can't continue to be right up there consistency-wise.
Yeah, and a certain head coach that I don't see discontinuing the pass anytime soon.
Well, and their defense is still going to suck too, so that's going to make it that much easier.
All right, let's break off the positions a little bit. And this is a big part of your book. Tell me why you hate rookies.
See, hate is a harsh word. I don't hate rookies. I just don't want them on my fantasy team. Now, you know, and so, you know, for the last number of years, especially when I did the book, the first couple years, you know, a lot of people said, you know, well, I noticed you don't list any rookies in your book. And I go, that's because they haven't proven anything in the NFL.
Sure.
How can I give them a consistency mark if they haven't proven their consistency in the NFL? And they're like, well, then you're missing out on all these really top talents. And I'm like, am I? I don't think so. So I finally, you know, went forth and I looked at the last 6 years of draft, the NFL draft. I only did the first 4 rounds and obviously only for the positions of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. So there was 266 players drafted in those 6 years in those 4 rounds at those positions, and less than 8% of them have ever earned over a clutch rating or consistency rating of 60% in their rookie season. And so my thought is then, why would I take that chance? And only, you know, so a first round draft choice needs to earn at least an 80% clutch rating, in my opinion, to be worth a first rounder. And I think if I have to look at it real quick, but I think there's only been like, what, 6 or 7 out of those 266 that have even exceeded that point.
Wow.
6 in total. So 4 over 80% and then 2 more over 90. So you're looking at basically 2.3% of all rookies in the last 6 years have earned over an 80% rating. So do I take Ezekiel Elliott in the first round? Probably not.
You threw the name out there. I was about to screw to you here a little bit. How far does he have to fall for you to take him?
I would say really at this point, I think he would have to be late second round. I mean, I really have to have – maybe even early third round. I really feel like I'd have to have one very good, consistent running back, like a Jamal Charles or an Adrian Peterson. If I can get him as my running back 2, I'll take that chance.
Sure.
He'll never fall that far.
You're not getting him.
No, I'm not getting him. And that's fine.
You bring up Jamal Charles. I'm big on Jamal Charles. I mean, of course, he's had 2 big injuries.
Yeah.
Does that concern you? But I mean, and how do you gauge that with your confidence on a running back coming out of an injury? How do you gauge that, your confidence in him on a consistency scale?
Well, I mean, I assume you're a follower of Ron Chandler, since I know you do fantasy baseball. And Ron Chandler always had a phrase that was, once a player has earned that skill, it doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And whether that's home run power, speed, whatever the case may be. I look at Ron Chandler as one of my idols as a writer and a person who has done something on his own and tried to be different. And I kind of look at consistency the same way. If they're in the same situation, and even if they've been injured, these guys are all pro athletes. They have professional trainers, professional, you know, nutritionists. This is not you and I trying to come back from an ACL injury. Yeah. I assume that consistency will stay. Now, if they change teams or, you know, they lose their star quarterback and the situation changes drastically, I might lose a little confidence. Nothing has changed in Kansas City. So it's all about his knees and being strong. And Jamaal Charles is a great athlete and a great competitor. As long as I don't see something in the preseason that proves me different, he's still one of my top three backs without even thinking.
Well, you got a Jamaal Charles and a guy who hasn't changed teams. Let's look at another veteran running back that has. I see Matt Forte on your number two of consistent running backs. Do you see a drop-off for him going to New York, or is he going to remain consistent at approaching 30, 31 years old, I believe now?
Well, Matt Forte, again, is kind of like an Adrian Peterson. I mean, he may not be that elite, but Matt Forte does one thing very well, and that's catch passes.
Yep.
And as long as you're in a PPR format, I would have no problem with Matt Forte from a consistency standpoint on my team, especially since he's going around, late second round, mid third round. If I can get, either two really, great wide receivers and make Forte my number one, I'm okay with that because – in a PPR format, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. He's the number two most clutch games earned over the last three seasons. And I really don't see him dropping off if he stays healthy in New York. I mean, that team has great weapons. They got Fitzgerald. That was actually the only thing that scared me about Forte really until a week ago, was Forte might run into trouble with the inconsistency of Geno Smith at quarterback. But with Fitzgerald there now, Fitzpatrick there now.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick.
I really think that he will do very well there because of the PPR format. That gives them somebody out of the backfield that they really didn't have last year in Ivory and Powell. Then you got Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker around that scenario. I think there's a lot of weapons there, and I know teams can't focus on one guy. And so I think Forte will be consistent. I'm not going to say he's going to score, 25 points a week, but all you need out of a PPR, a traditional PPR format, is about 10 to 12 a week to be consistent, actually anything over 10. I think he'll be that, and I think he'll be in that 70, 75% range, which is great value for your, if you're getting him in a third round.
Okay, let's touch on some wide receivers a little bit. Sure. I'm going to look right at the top of your list here. And I want to tell everyone out there, it's not Antonio Brown.
Nope.
It's not Julio Jones.
Nope.
Not Odell Beckham.
Nope.
Eric Decker is the most consistent receiver in fantasy football. Are you telling me that?
Last year, he was a perfect 15 out of 15. He missed one game due to injury. And what's even more amazing and people are even more shocked by is that who is the number two overall? Why don't you tell them?
Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, another New York Jet. The top two most consistent wide receivers last season was Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker at 100, and then Marshall only missed one game. He was 15 out of 16, so he was 94%. That was with Fitzpatrick. So in my rankings heading in this year, I think I have Marshall maybe 15th, Decker around 22. I'll probably bump them up with Fitzpatrick being back. Marshall's still getting some loves. Decker is still not. His ADP last time I saw was around mid-20s to late-20s. I've drafted him as my third receiver in a couple leagues already, and I was just giddy. He's not going to score you a ton of points every week, but he's a PPR machine. Fitzpatrick loves him. And he gets those, 10 to 12, 13 points a week, and that's all you need out of that spot, especially if he's your wide receiver three. If you can load up on two really great players like, Antonio, or Julio, and then come back with, a Jarvis Landry and then Decker, you've got three extremely consistent wide receivers at that point.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with pretty much all of that. We spoke with Fantasy Alarm's Howard Bender recently here on the Flex, and got into the New York Jets. He's a fan, so we wanted to get his take on it. And with the Ryan Fitzpatrick signing, I made the point then, Brandon Marshall, I feel like, is just kind of quarterback neutral. I think if he's healthy, he's going to put up his stats. Eric Decker, I'm like, everybody's sleeping on it. You know, they're bumping Marshall up. I'm like, Decker is the guy taking the leap here with the Fitzpatrick signing.
Absolutely. I mean, again, you know, surprisingly, and I bring this to people's attention, or at least I was before with Decker because of the fact that we didn't know. But Decker actually 2 years ago when Geno Smith was the quarterback actually was at 60% consistent, which ranked him 23rd at the time for that year, which, again, is wide receiver two, and that was with Geno Smith. So, you know, he's still one of those just quiet, you know, gets that 10 to 12, 13 points a week. He's never going to be, you know, a top 10 in scoring total points, but his consistency is always going to be there because he's very dependable, very sure-handed. You know, he's a great safety valve for Fitzpatrick and the Jets. You know, having Forte may actually take a little bit away from him, I would think, because that gives him a different option out there. But, you know, again, I think that, you know, that's going to be a very solid offense again this year.
Yeah, I'm going to drop down to your third tier of wide receivers now. And the top guy there, I want to preface this by saying, although it's spelled slightly different, I have a son named Macklin. Jeremy Macklin, I mean, of course, I always find myself, I have to take him. Don't I have to take him? No, I really don't. Yeah. But I'm always higher on him than I feel like the room that I'm drafting in, no matter what draft I am in. But, I mean, he's about the most consistent, one of the more consistent performers out there. Now, his offense might not be flashy and as high-flying as some of them out there, but he's the number one guy in Kansas City. How do you see him?
I mean, I don't see anything changing. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't – I mean, in Philadelphia in 2014, you know, he was ninth in total points. He ranked 11th in consistency at 75%. When he was going to go to Kansas City, I sadly was on the bandwagon of – well, there goes his consistency. There goes his value as a fantasy player. But by the end of the year, he ended up 22nd with a 67% clutch rating. He was actually 15th in total points. I don't see any, again, you know, kind of like, you know, I had mentioned before, once they've earned that consistency, as long as there's no major changes in their scenario, which there's not. I mean, he still has Alex Smith. He still is the number one receiver. Jamaal Charles will be back. He's still, you know, a good guy. And I think if you can get him as your wide receiver three, this is a very good value at that spot. Higher than that, I would struggle picking him as my wide receiver two, unless it's a really deep league. But, I think he's got great value. And he's always been consistent, whether it's Philadelphia or Kansas City. So yeah, I like Macklin a lot.
Yeah. And I think, one thing I saw when he, took off from Philadelphia and went to Kansas City, that was one factor I saw. Andy Reid. He likes this receiver. That's his guy. And he's going to find ways to get him the ball. The connection to me, and you kind of brought it up there, between Decker and Macklin, you might still be able to get these guys as a wide receiver three. And in my view, they're probably the best, most reliable guys you can get feasibly as a wide receiver three. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, those guys are, you know, have proven that, kind of as you mentioned before with Marshall, they're kind of quarterback neutral. You know, as long as the quarterback can stand on two legs and throw the football, they're going to catch the football. They get open. They run good routes. They're very dependable. And that's what a quarterback needs, is somebody that when it's third down and six, they need that 7 yards. They're going to get 7 yards with Macklin or Decker. That helps their consistency, that helps their value, because they're going to get more targets in the clutch, and that's what's important.
This book, as I said, just loaded full of your profiles, consistency, probably some shocks. You get a lot of agreements here. And some guys, you know, undervalue guys that people need to take a second and even a third look at. Bob, this has been great, man. I really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you for having me on. I love talking this. And anytime you want to talk some more about it, we can do more of these. That's for sure. I'd love it.
No, most definitely, man. Before I let you go here, where can people find you, like on Twitter or anywhere else for some questions or analysis, anything?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I really pride myself on is trying to help people understand how to apply this consistency to their league, to their draft. You know, it's now easy for me because I get it and I can speak it, but you know, I like to help people, but so there's multiple ways. So on Twitter is just @Bob_Lung. That's LUNG, just like you breathe with. So my website is bigguyfantasysports.com, and you can go there. You can either buy the book there for $5.99 and download the PDF and the tier draft list updated currently. If you really have to have it on your Kindle, you can buy it on Amazon or Google Play, but it's $7.99 there because, you know, they take more of a cut. And and then email is just bob@bigguyfantasysports.com. Like I said, love to answer questions, love to help people out. You know, you can be a subscriber to the site, and, you know, I'll be there for you all season to help you do better in your draft, to help you be more consistent in your you know, your league management or team management, and help you get to the playoffs, because you can't win the championship if you don't make the playoffs.
That is correct. This has been a real treat, man. You have a good one, all right?
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it for having me on.
Okay, let's get Brad in here now. First things first, Brad, where can the people find you?
They can find me at UGA Good on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Okay, what do you say we talk some tight ends with from Dynasty Football Factory, Aaron Mernon?
Sounds good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Everything's going well.
Up there in Cleveland, Ohio, Browns fan, got any good things to say about your squad going into this season?
I mean, I say this every year, but I feel good this year.
Who's going to play quarterback?
I don't know. RG3 will play quarterback. We're getting Gordon back. We got Coleman. We got, you know, three backs that I think can handle the rock. Hugh Jackson.
All right. You got a early August confidence from a football fan.
A Browns fan, nonetheless.
No doubt. All right, Brad. Let's give Aaron a chance here to break down an article I found particularly interesting over on DynastyFootballFactory.com. Aaron, you called it the Gronk effect. What do you have to say about what most people believe is the best tight end in the league up in New England?
Yeah, so, you know, when I went into the article, I wanted to try and examine, you know, because we all know that Gronk is the best tight end, I think, in the NFL, what the benefit for your team is for drafting Gronk with, you know, that late first, early second round pick. And, you know, when I was looking at his numbers after his rookie season, I mean, he doesn't average less than 17 points a game in any season in his career. In fact, in 2011, the guy was averaging 20 points a game as a tight end, which is just absurd. And he does it every single year. Kind of, I think one of the arguments is, well, you know, especially this year, what about Jordan Reed? What about Greg Olsen? What about Kelsey and Delanie Walker and these other guys? And while that's, you know, kind of the flavor of the month, I think, if we go back just a year, I mean, Gronk outscores Jordan Reed in points per game by 9 points a game. To put that into like a clear comparison, that's the difference between Antonio Brown and John Brown per game in 2015. So that's a huge gap. And Gronk's a guy who over the last 5 years has scored as a top. So, you know, we talk about receiver ones a lot, so finishing in the top 12 for receivers. If you were to count Gronk as a receiver, over the last 5 years, he's scored as a receiver one 3 out of 5 years. And in one of those seasons, he missed significant time, still finished pretty well. But the only other guys to do that over the last 5 seasons Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, Calvin Johnson, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Dez Bryant. So, I mean, this guy's in rare company, and he plays tight end.
Well, I'm definitely glad to hear you say all that, man, because I'm in a I'm just sampling out the Dynasty football for the first time this year. Put that into context a little bit. I've been a NCAA football DFS player, and with that going by the wayside, at least here, I'm hoping temporarily. But in case it doesn't, I've decided to test out the Dynasty because we love college football down here in Atlanta, GA, and this has been the next stop for us. I'm familiar with Dynasty baseball, but just getting into this Dynasty football. So here, let me say this. In a slow draft league that I was in, I was with the 8th pick, and this is a 16-team league. Now, this counts 1.5 PPR for tight end and 1 point for everyone else. I shocked that crowd by taking Gronk with that 8th overall pick. Am I crazy, or did I get a steal there?
So, I mean, in the tight end premium, I don't think you're crazy. Having never played in a premium tight end league before, I'm not, 100% sure. However, that sounds about right. You know, I think in those dynasty leagues, again, those concepts with, year-to-year production, it's always different guys at the top, except for Gronk. He's always there. And when it comes down to those per-game scoring, what you're getting – every time you put him out there and you know he's playing, it's just unrivaled. I mean, he's been doing it for 5 years now. The guy's not going to slow down.
All right, Mr. Redraft Brad. All those numbers on Gronk, and we've pretty much had him as our top tight end of the board, but we're liking some Jordan Reed, too. We've actually even said maybe Reed passes him this year. Now, health's going to be a big question for both these guys. Brad, what do you got to say about all that? Gronk's still your top guy, and by how much?
Oh, Gronk is definitely still my number one tight end, and it's not really that close. Reed, like you said, has the injury concerns, and that I actually have Greg Olsen ranked above Reed because of that. Gronk is hands down that number one option at tight end, and worth a early second, sometimes even late first round draft choice, depending on your league's formats.
Okay, Aaron, I'm gonna get you to diss me here if it's the last thing I do. In that 16 team league, let's keep that in the back of our mind. 16 teams, fairly deep in that dynasty league, the tight end premium, and I'm able to start two tight ends. I came back in the second round and took Jordan Reed.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay, he's speechless.
Yeah.
I like the move, honestly. 1.5 points for per reception for tight ends. I mean, and you took, in most people's opinion, the two best tight ends that I think most people, they might lump Olsen in there with them, but they're definitely top-tier tight ends, and after that it kind of falls off a little bit.
I say all that, Aaron, to get to this point. Who is your number two tight end right now?
Oh, if you're asking me from a straight ranking standpoint, I actually think I'm going Travis Kelce as my number two ranked tight end this year.
Oh, wow.
But if you were to ask me, in let's say a similar format, who's the second tight end I'm going to target, I'm looking at names like Julius Thomas, Ladarius Green, even Austin Seferian Jenkins, Crockett Gilmore, Will Tye, and Cameron Brate late in the draft to try and address that need. And also, too, I think, one of the questions with Gronk is always, can this guy stay healthy? He's had some serious injuries, which is valid. I think you got to go get Martellus Bennett late in the draft. I think that, they're going to use both of those guys, and if Gronk were to go down, I think he'll be able to produce similar to how Aaron Hernandez produced when Gronk went down back in 2012, which was good for 16.8 fantasy points per game.
Sure. So you, definitely, to reiterate, Aaron's taking that dynasty approach here more so than Brad and myself. And, digging deep on those tight ends a little bit. How about the recent news on a Julius Thomas injury? Does that scare you at all?
Can you remind me what the recent injury was?
I believe he came up, this just happened. Yeah, it was an ankle. Yeah,
he sprained his ankle. I don't think it's going to be that serious, honestly, but.
But we definitely. Definitely don't want to see a Mercedes Lewis sighting in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, definitely not. And, I know that Julius Thomas has, history of getting banged up and nicked up here and there. I think with camp reports coming up lame, I usually like to wait until someone says it's severe before I'm going to panic. But you're getting him at such a low cost that I think it's worth the risk still, unless, you know, this comes out and ends up sounding pretty serious.
Yeah, okay. Well, Brad, you heard Aaron bring up Travis Kelce there, and we're probably pretty high on him, but the number two, where do you have him in your rankings?
Yeah, number two's a little high for me. I have Travis Kelce down at number six. I've had Kelce the last couple leagues, and he's just been a little underwhelming and inconsistent. I mean, I mean, you got to love Baby Gronk's, you know, athletic, you know, build and the intangibles that he brings, but they just don't throw the ball to him enough. You know, maybe they change that this year, and maybe Travis Kelce does, you know, crack into that, you know, top two or three at tight end in fantasy, but I'm not going to reach early and you know, take a earlier round pick on Travis Kelce. If he falls below his ADP, I might, you know, reach for a Travis Kelce at that place. But I, it's one of those wait and see things, you know. I got to see him do it before I'm going to, you know, get on the hype train.
Sure, sure. And that passing game in Kansas City's a little bit limited anyway. I mean, they're a run play for pretty confident saying they're a run first team. Jamal Charles headed back, and he's got some capable backups. But Aaron, we mentioned you being from Cleveland, a Cleveland Browns fan. Perhaps the most improbable breakout, not just of last year, but in several years, Gary Barnage last season. Can this guy do it again, man?
No, absolutely not. the Browns offense, I think, is so inept most years. They have this weird trend of emerging guys that aren't very good for short stretches of time, and I think he's just, like, the latest guy to do it.
All right. Well, how about you, Brad? You liking Barnage at all?
I don't think he's going to do what he did last year. I have him at 5 right now in my tight end rankings, so I think he's going to be productive. I don't think he's going to be a complete one-hit wonder flash in the pan. I think he'll have you know, some touchdowns and some good yardage production this year, but it's definitely not going to be as high as last season.
All right, and maybe a guy I've actually said in the past I think might be this year's Gary Barnage, and I've seen several articles, heard people tossing this guy's name around. Out in San Francisco, Vance McDonald. Aaron, do you have any love for him?
I actually own a lot of Vance McDonald shares in Dynasty. I mean, he's super cheap. I think that he has the capacity to be a fantasy relevant tight end, and he's on a team that's likely going to have Gabbert thrown in the ball, so I expect him to be targeted pretty heavily. Really, the only drawback with him is I want to say it was a beat writer report, which I don't really take a whole lot of stock in, but I think it's important to keep in mind. Vance McDonald's listed 3rd on the depth chart in San Francisco as of yesterday.
Yeah, that can't be right. I mean, I saw some of that too. Surely that can't be correct. He had a bit of a rapport with Blaine Gabbert when Gabbert took over the starting role midway through last season. I believe he had 3 or 4 games over 60 yards receiving, and where you can get this guy in drafts, yeah, there's a lot of value there. Brad, you got any love for McDonald?
Definitely not as much as you guys. I think he is one of those deeper league, dynasty league type guys. You know, worth a late round pick, but yeah, I'm not quite as high on him as you. I really just want to stay away from the 49ers offense as much as I possibly can. There's only one or two guys that I'm really interested in that offense, even with Chip Kelly going there.
All right, Aaron, one more question on tight ends before we cut it here. Go with a name we haven't mentioned. Who are you big on at the tight end position?
I am so happy that you brought this up because I wanted to talk about this before I got off. I think this is a name that guys in redraft probably have no idea who this guy is, and if they do, it's probably because he had a couple of games here and there. If this guy can wrestle work away from Ben Watson, I think Crockett Gilmore could really, really surprise some people this year and in the years coming forward. I think he's the kind of guy where if you're sitting at the end of your draft in a redraft league and you need a tight end or you need some depth and you want to take, you know, a high-ceiling flyer kind of guy that might work out for you, I think Crockett Gilmore is the guy.
Speaking of Baltimore, how about Max Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I like Max Williams as well. I just, you know, when I watched both of those guys last year, Crockett Gilmore just seems like the better tight end in terms of fantasy relevance. I know Max Williams is all around a better player, but I also, you know, where the Ravens did invest a high value draft pick in Max Williams, spending a third round pick on Crockett Gilmore isn't anything to sneeze at either. I think that if it's between the two of them, I think Gilmore may take it.
Well, with all the injuries in that wide receiving core, maybe Joe Flacco can make three or four tight ends viable in fantasy. What do you say, Brett?
Well, they're pretty deep at tight end, so I mean, don't forget Dennis Pitta. His hip injuries aside, you know, they got a lot of depth there at tight end. So yeah, I think if they, you know, develop that offense to you better utilize two tight ends at the same time, it might be beneficial for them.
All right. Well, Aaron, before we get you out of here, man, tell us where everybody can find you and what you got coming up article-wise over at Dynasty Football Factory.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone can follow me at El Tayablo, ELTAYABLO. And I write over at Dynasty Football Factory. I'm trying to think. Things are in the pipeline. I know we're doing some data analysis on zero RB versus zero wide receiver. And we're also putting some pieces together on identifying groups of player positions that may be able to help us better predict success for certain types of players.
All right, cool, man. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Hey, not a problem. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Sure, no problem.
Take care, Aaron.
All right, then. Dynasty Football's chief data analyst, Aaron Mernon. Good stuff from him on tight ends. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, that was solid material. It's got me rethinking possibly taking Gronk early.
Yeah, no doubt. I was already on him as a first-round option. I'm not going to let him fall out of a second round if he can get him there in any of the leagues I'm in. But that'll about wrap it up for us today. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions over on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. You can now check out Fantasy Flex at our new home, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Or if you prefer, all episodes can be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, I'm Nate. That's Brad.
Gronk Flex, Gronk Smash.